Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, The Real Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes as I discuss the world of sports on this 29th of October 2011, a rainy and cold Saturday morning down in the Metro DC area. Oh, it's cold outside, but I'm inside. Hopefully you're inside, warmed up for this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or hit me up on facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. We begin in the baseball capital of the world, St. Louis, Missouri. The Cardinals are your champions for the 2011 baseball season, an unlikely champion to say the least. I think before the season, most people were talking, you know, Red Sox, Phillies, Yankees, to a lesser extent, the Giants, Texas. I never heard St. Louis's name mentioned in that category, mentioned in that group. And you think about what had to transpire for them to even get to the playoffs and what they had to go through over the course of the season. It is one of the great runs in recent baseball memory, even more impressive than what they did in 2006. Now, this team was better than in 2016. 2016 was 83-78. Okay. That 2016 was not very, it was a okay team that just got hot. You know, he had guys like Jeff Supon pitching at the time. I mean, you know, still had a pretty good offense with Pujols and what have you, but that team was not a very good team. That team just got hot and, you know, just carried them to a championship. This team was very good. This was a very good memory. This was a 90-win team without Adam Wainwright. Pujols missed a ton of time. Freeze wasn't healthy for his first couple of years. And really just broken this year to make an impact. They, Carpenter got off to a slow start. But this was still a very good team. But, you know, August 25th, 10.5 games out, needed the last day to clinch the wild card, needed the Braves to Phillies to beat the Braves on the last day. You know, a lot had to happen for this team to win a championship. I mean, you take into consideration that they get the rain delay, they could push to get Chris Carpenter an extra day, or otherwise they would have not even been pitching, you know, Jake Westbrook or Kyle Loesch for that matter. I mean, it takes a lot to win a championship. And St. Louis, give the Cardinals credit, they took advantage of all the breaks. And, you know, really, for the most part, created their own breaks. I mean, going down, you know, you look at the teams that they beat, you know, they had the toughest road that you could possibly have, beating Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and now Texas. All those teams have bigger payrolls than the Cardinals. All those teams were, you know, slightly favored over the Cardinals in the series, especially Philadelphia. And that was a big one. I mean, you take out Philadelphia in a game five with all that pitching, then they basically could have beat anybody after that. But that was a key series for them to that I think propelled them to their championship. The Cardinals, listen, the Cardinals, Texas, on the other hand, you have Texas who did not lose that game last night. They lost that game on Thursday night. Thursday night, Friday morning, let's be honest with you. Let's be honest about it. Texas, you know, in that classic game six, had multiple opportunities, up by two runs, two strikes with two outs and two strikes to put St. Louis away. Once St. Louis survived that, there was just no way Texas was going to win game seven. History was against them. You know the numbers. Now nine straight teams have won. Nine straight home teams have won the decisive game seven. You have, a team not since the Pittsburgh Pirates of 1979, were led by Willie Stargell, has a team went on the road and won a game seven. It's just, you know, it's hard. It's hard to win game seven on the road in any sport. In any sport. I mean, we've seen it done in hockey like two out of the last 4 years with Pittsburgh and Boston. But, you know, basketball, baseball, it is very difficult. And now we've seen the last 2 years, you know, after the American League had dominated the National League, you know, standing up with the home field advantage and taking full and taking advantage of it with back-to-back championships. I mean, you have to go back to the 90s to find last time a National League won back-to-back championships. It's been a while. Or maybe in the 80s. I would have to check the 90s. You know, 90s, you had a lot of Yankees. You know, Yankees, you had a lot of Yankees and Blue Jays. But I would go pretend to go back and check that. But it has been a while since in National League you've had back-to-back years of National League teams winning world championships. And, you know, last night, you know, where I thought this game was decided was in the first inning. First inning, Texas jumps out 2-0. You're saying to yourself, okay, maybe they have recovered from what transpired last Thursday night. 2-0, you know, they jump out 2-0. It could have been 3-0 if Ian Kinsler, when they got picked off by Yadier Molina at first base, but when St. Louis comes right back and ties the game before you, within a snap of your fingers, you say to yourself, I said to myself, you know what, it's not going to happen for Texas. You're on the road in a decisive game. You need to jump out. Whether it's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, and that lead needs to stick for about 2 to 3 innings, at least 2 innings. I mean, it was like Texas never had a lead, to be honest with you. It's no different than, say, tennis when, you know, you break somebody's serve, but then you allow your serve to be broken. What did you accomplish? Nothing. You're all 0-0 again, all square. So, you know, Texas had an opportunity to put some pressure on St. Louis to maybe create a little bit of doubt that, you know, listen, last night was a fluke, we're back. But when St. Louis goes out there and gets two runs in the bottom of the inning, St. Louis saying to themselves, you know what, no lead is safe. We can come back from anything. And that's what you think of the Cardinals fan. Like, okay, you score a couple of runs, you score two runs, no biggie, we'll be back. And the thing that got exposed with Texas in this series to me more than anything was the lack of a big-time starter. I mean, we talked about it last Sunday. They missed Cliff Lee in this series. You know, St. Louis had Carpenter, who was, you know, who after a shaky first two innings was brilliant from the third inning on. And didn't give him a run after the first inning, coming off 3 days rest, gave him six solid innings, and then St. Louis bullpen takes over. But again, Texas needed to jump out on St. Louis and, you know, really put some doubt in the Cardinals. Now, that have been hard to do because the Cardinals have, you know, Cardinals have overcome a lot. But, you know, allowing the Cardinals to come back so quick, just, you know, to me, that I said to myself, this game is over. You know, the Cardinals are going to win. I thought the Cardinals were going to win going into the game, but after that, I was, you know, was 1,000% sure that they were going to win that game when they were able to come back and tie the game in the bottom half of the inning. From a historical perspective, you know, the Cardinals, you know, all this Yankee and Red Sox talk and Philly talk over the past 8 or 9 years, since 96 when La Russa got to St. Louis, outside of the Yankees, the Cardinals have been the most consistent team and most consistent franchise in baseball. They're tied with Boston with most championships during that particular period. Yankees had 5, Boston has 2, St. Louis has 2. But St. Louis, you know, it's rare that they have 2 bad years in a row. It's rare that they, you know, they had a stretch from 2004 to 2006 where they, you know, won 3 straight division titles, were good for winning 100 games, got to a World Series, got to the LCS. You know, you can pretty much bank that the Cardinals are going to be very good. And last year they won 86 games. That was an off year for them. And, you know, this again, they do this without Adam Wainwright, who's one of the best pitchers, one of the best pitchers in the National League. Guy, you know, coming off a 19-win season. But they have been the model of consistency. And again, Philadelphia fans, I want to hear it. You know, Philly's won 5 straight division titles, been great. But the bottom line is St. Louis, you know, has won the division titles, and they've won, you know, 2 championships, 2 out of the last, six championships. And they're always in contention. And this is, again, this is despite $85 million payroll. They don't blow you away with the payroll. All the teams that they beat had bigger payrolls than the Cardinals had. All of them. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 347-215-6180. When we return, we'll talk about, we'll have Saturday Morning Headlines, and we will also preview a big matchup in the Big 12. That's all coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, 43 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, as we discuss the world of sports. 347-215-6180 is your call number. The poll question of the morning is, which team is more likely to get back to the World Series, Texas or St. Louis? Both should be very good next year, assuming that the Cardinals can sign one Albert Pujols. I think Pujols is probably going to stay. I really do. I think he likes it there. I think if I had to guess, certainly there's no guarantees. Somebody, all it takes is for one team to go out there and give them $275 million, and you know, we'll see what and that'll be it. But I think the Cardinals, you know, I think they'll make him. You know, he'll get about $200 million. From 7 to 8 years, and I think that they will find a way to keep him there. There's, you know, if you're the Cardinals, listen, you don't give him an A-Rod type deal, but can you really afford to lose him? On the other hand, you have the Pujols. You can say, hey, you know what? I've won two championships. It's time for me to get paid. But I've been also saying how much I love St. Louis. So, interesting. It's not guaranteed one way or the other. It's not, you know, I'm confident that he will sign back, but it's not set in stone that he's going to sign back. But assuming that he does sign back, Cardinals will be very good. They have obviously some excellent young arms in the bullpen. They'll get Wainwright back. They'll, you know, Freeze and Craig will be, you know, but Freeze could be an all-star next year. Alan Craig could be an everyday player possibly for them next year. So they have a ton of talent. They have a ton of talent. You know, how to deal with the Phillies. Giants will be back. Texas, again, you know, I felt bad for Texas last night. I really did. I felt bad for them. You know, last year, they were the kind of deer in the headlights. We're happy to be here. Giants were the team of destiny, hot pitching. You know, a lot of veterans who had won championships. Okay, losing five games. This year, I thought Texas, outside, you know, I said before, outside the Philadelphia Phillies, were the best team in all of baseball. And, you know, they just lose a series in a heartbreaking fashion. I mean, again, that game six. You know, you don't see too many of those. You don't. I mean, you don't see too many of a team get that many opportunities to put a team away and clinch the series. You couldn't ask for anything more if you're a Texas Ranger fan to be in a better position as far as being able to clinch on the road with your closer, you know, with your offense scoring a ton of runs, but they were not able to do it. Texas will be good next year. I mean, first of all, they're going to win that division. I mean, unless Anaheim, Los Angeles is pretty good. They have some nice pitching, but Texas is still the class of that division. And they have they'll probably resign C.J. Wilson. You know, they have a great offense. Most of those guys are in their prime, good farm system. So they'll be right back. It wouldn't shock me if they're back in the World Series next year. They are the best team in the American League as of right now. But, you know, free agency is pending, you know, so we'll see about that. Of course, we will do the Hot Stove Baseball all off season when big stories break. There's some talk about CeCe Sabathia. The Yankees are trying to sign CeCe Sabathia before the weekend is out to a extension and not let him opt out, you know, they don't want him to get on the open market as far as opting out. We'll see. They have exclusive negotiating rights, as do the Cardinals with Pujols for the first 4 or 5 days after the season ends. So we'll see how that turns out. I would be hard-pressed to see the Yankees let him go. Nobody's going to outspend them to re-sign Sabathia. But Sabathia might just, you know, want to change the scenery. Who knows? Saturday morning headlines. NBA games will be canceled through November 30th. David Stern said that guarantees there will be no full season. They tried to get in the full season. It's not a big deal to me, I think. I mean, 72 games, 64 games, no biggie from my standpoint. The thing that you should be concerned about as a fan is it seems like all this goodwill and progress that was made in the past week has kind of gone out the door, and it returns to where they started as far as the argument goes, and that's basketball-related income. Billy Hunter, the players don't want to dip below that 52%, clip. Owners wanted to be 50-50. So they are stuck at an impasse as far as that situation goes. You know, one step forward, three steps back, it seems like what the NBA is taking with this situation. I do think games will be played. I do think that they will make a deal before Christmas. I don't think you'll have Christmas games missed. That's my own personal opinion. I could be dead wrong, but I do think that a deal will come about before Christmas. Bills re-signed quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick to a 6-year, $59 million extension, $24 million guaranteed. Listen, he's played well. He played well last year when the team was horrible. My question is, if you're a Bills fan, I know a diehard Bills fan, personally. Do you believe that you can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback? Because you don't give a guy $24 million guaranteed if you don't, if you have trouble answering that question. You know, there are a lot of quarterbacks coming out in this particular draft. This quarterback, this 2012 draft is going to be one of the deepest quarterback drafts in recent memory. And again, I'm not giving that guy. I know he played nice. I know he's played pretty well, but I'm not giving that guy that kind of money if I don't believe that he could be my franchise quarterback and a quarterback that I can win a championship with. West Virginia will join the Big 12 come 2012. Big 12 announced that, and also Big 12 announced that Missouri will not be a part of the Big 12 come next season. Crazy thing about that is Missouri has not even been confirmed to be with to be in the SEC. So right now, really, Missouri doesn't have a home in 2012. That the SEC Missouri deal has not been signed. And as of right now, the SEC Missouri is not in the SEC. Now the SEC wants Missouri, but that still has not been confirmed. What the Big 12 is doing, you say to yourself, well, what sense does West Virginia make considering that they're not a very big television market? That is true, but what happens is now there are 10 Big 12 teams. You can now play a Big 12 championship instead of this round robin thing that you're playing this year. You play a Big 12 championship, that's more revenue, more money for all the schools. So from a business standpoint, it makes sense. From a football standpoint, it makes sense as well. I mean, West Virginia has even from an athletic department, West Virginia has very good football and very good basketball programs. They're legitimately top 20 football and basketball programs, so that makes perfect sense. But there was questions about whether or not the Big 12 would consider West Virginia, considering that they were not a big time television market, but apparently they are willing to overlook that, and it doesn't make any difference anyway. I mean, the Big 12 is making so much money off their television contracts, and then you have the Longhorn deal, which draws attention to other schools in the Big 12. So they're not hurting for dollars. So I think they were willing to overlook that and just take the money that they're going to make from playing a Big 12 championship come 2012. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, we'll preview the showdown in Manhattan, Kansas State taking on Oklahoma. Also, is it the end of an era in Redskin land? We'll talk about we'll have the Redskin report as well. That and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. This is Cyril Quinn. Call number is 347-215-6180. I'll be right back. After the 10 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, Cyril Quinn taking you on this, again, cold and rainy Saturday. Winter trying to make an early appearance. As it's, you know, it is November, so I mean, it should be a little colder, but I wasn't certainly not expecting this fast and this quickly, considering how it was early in the week. But we move on and we deal with it. 347-215-6180 is your call number. College football game of the week, number 8, Kansas State. And this is BCS rankings. I know AP, they're number 10 and 11. But BCS-wise, they are number 8, 9, Kansas State taking on Oklahoma. Oklahoma trying to lick his wounds and recover from that brutal loss they had to Texas Tech at home that snapped their 39-game home winning streak. Take on a Kansas State team, which a lot of people might not know about, you know, considering other than knowing Bill Snyder, that their legendary head coach, but a Kansas State team that is led by, of course, Colin Klein, who is a running quarterback, hasn't even cracked 200 yards passing in a game this season. So he's definitely a guy who, you know, is a run first pass second quarterback. Very interesting matchup from the standpoint of, you know, this is the real first time that Kansas State has been relevant since 2003. That year they won the Big 12 championship, destroyed Oklahoma. I remember the game very well. That's when Darren Sproles was there. He went basically berserk in that game, 35-7, and Oklahoma still played for the national championship, which boggled my mind. But, you know, that's the BCS system we live in. I don't think they scored enough points to beat Oklahoma, to be honest with you. I mean, the quarterback, I think if you're Oklahoma, you can key in on running or stopping this dude run and make him be a drop-back pocket quarterback. And Oklahoma has not lost back-to-back Big 12 matchups games in 13 years. And that might have been before Stoops was there. I don't think Stoops has ever lost back-to-back Big 12 games. I don't see it happening now. I understand the game is in Manhattan. I understand that Oklahoma has a track record in the last 3 or 4 years of not playing well on the road, especially against ranked teams. They did beat Florida State this year. They didn't beat Florida State this year, but for the most part, they had some trouble with some ranked teams on the road in particular. But I do like Oklahoma with the points to take out Kansas State. Kansas State is on just a murderous row. Part of the schedule that's coming up. So Kansas State had to take on, you know, the next couple of weeks, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and Texas. So that undefeated record could be easy saying 2-3 losses in their face. I think it'll be a pretty good game. It is at Kansas State. Well, I look for Oklahoma to rebound. A couple of other big matchup of the day. There's a couple of other ones, but one in prime time that's college being followed by College Game Day, and I'll get to College Game Day in a minute because they really disappointed some Wildcat fans this week. Stanford and USC. USC has a very good defense. You obviously know about Matt Barkley, who is going to be a first round pick. Probably top 15, maybe the top 10 pick, but they're going up against a machine called, you know, Andrew Luck and Stanford's defense. I don't think this game is going to be as good as everybody's making it out to be. I think UCLA, Stanford will handle USC. This is not a big time USC team by any stretch of imagination. They had a very good defense, very good offense. But notice the word I use is very good. It's not great. It's not vintage USC. They would need vintage USC to beat this Stanford team. This Stanford team, a lot of people are not taking notice because they haven't played a ton of people. But the people who they have played, they've just destroyed. And again, their defense, they have a championship caliber defense. Without question, I said I would say Stanford probably has the most impressive defense in the country. And of course, they're led by Andrew Luck, who is just making it look easy. He is making it look absolutely easy. So I'll say I like Stanford in that matchup bigger than what most people would like them against USC. Also, you have Michigan State taking on Nebraska. Should be an interesting matchup. Michigan State we'll see how Michigan State can bounce back from that emotional win versus Wisconsin. They should beat Nebraska. They have better players than Nebraska, but we'll see how they bounce back from that. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, we'll have the Redskin Report and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 347-205-6180. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Real Quinn. As we discuss the world of sports, Redskins report. Skins are traveling to Toronto to take on the Buffalo Bills this week at the Rogers Center. It's considered to be a road game for the Redskins, home game for the Bills, but you know, it's not Ralph Wilson Stadium. So that, to me, is a slight advantage for the Redskins. Buffalo Lifetime is 0-3 at the Rogers Center when they played there. This is going to be a season-telling type game for the Redskins. They're 3-3, lost two straight. They're banged up. They're playing a good Buffalo team who's 4-2. You know, the Redskins could be you know, San Francisco on the horizon next week could be staring 3-5 right in the face. And to me, I think defensively the Redskins match up with Buffalo because teams that have given the Redskins problems have been teams that can spread them out and teams that have mobile quarterbacks. Buffalo does neither. I mean, Buffalo has some good receivers. Stevie Johnson is very good. David Nelson is pretty good, but they don't have enough talent on the outside to spread the Redskins out. Redskins, if they can control Fred Jackson, which won't be easy, should be able to stay in the game. Question for the Redskins, and it's always a question week in, week out, can they score enough points? You know, Buffalo could play, they can hold Buffalo to 21 points and still lose, you know, 21-13, 21-14. Redskins, as we all know, don't score enough points. It's not going to be any easier from an offensive standpoint because their offense is, you know, it's just decimated right now with how many starters they have missing on the out-old line, you know, with Santana Moss, Tim Hightower. Now you have this, you know, Chris Cooley's on IR. So they have a ton of offensive issues, to say the least. Good news for the Redskins, the likes of D'Angelo Hall, he will play. Redskins, again, have to stay away from the big turnover and have to find a way to contain one Fred Jackson. Chris Cooley, I mentioned before, was placed on IR. And I think that, you know, for the Redskins, Cooley has been a very good player. Has, you know, made the Pro Bowl 1 year. Not a great player, very good player, but it's just time to move on, to be honest with you. I mean, Fred Davis can have a chance to be a star. Logan Paulson is a perfect number two tight end. It's not like you won championships with Chris Cooley. So that, you know, the Redskins, again, are going into a tough spot with the Buffalo Bills. Three 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about the biggest hypocrisy in all of sports and what I would like to see done about it. That's coming up and much, much more. Also, our fantasy, we adding a segment to the program, Sit'em or Start'em for fantasy football. We'll talk about that. And, of course, we will have our week 8 picks in the league with no contract. It's guaranteed. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, 6 minutes after 11 o'clock hour, as we discuss the world of sports, unpaid labor. That is basically what is transpiring with the NCAA and the scholarship athletes in all sports. But, you know, let's be honest, the ones that are the big money makers are the football and basketball programs and basketball departments. Very interesting article, a very just revealing article in The Atlantic called The Shame of College Sports. I posted it on my Facebook page. It's 27 pages. But, again, one of the most informative articles you will ever read about what is wrong with the NCAA. Nothing new from some of the stuff that we already know. The thing, you know, the reason why I brought it up was because of, in light of what the NCAA is trying to do now with, you know, with giving it or paying the players, you know, with an allowance fee of, say, $2,000, which, you know, it sounds good, but when the average player, and this is from the Big Ten, when the average player says that the student athlete pays $3,000 to $4,000 out of their own pocket in terms of college costs, what is $2,000? They're still coming out to like $1,000. So again, when you're making hundreds of millions of dollars and giving these kids scraps, and that's what it wouldn't be half a crumb, you know, it's kind of like trying to put lipstick on a pig. To me, it makes just zero sense. Here's what I would want, you know, in my world, as far as what I would want the athletes, student athletes, what I wish would happen one day. I wish one day these athletes would start up a union or take a stand and say, you know what, enough's enough. We'll boycott a bowl game. We'll boycott a Final Four. We're just not going to play until we have some changes. Now, how likely is that? Very highly unlikely. But this is, again, it would be the only thing that would send a message to the NCAA and would force the NCAA to make some changes. Other than that, they're going to keep just raking in the dough, you know, bleeding these athletes for everything they got, getting rid of them when they're not performing. I mean, again, the article said a lot. If you have a son that has a college scholarship, especially football, he can't lose that scholarship if he's not playing up the par. He can be cut, just like the NFL, believe it or not. And the NCAA has done this, quietly kept. So I want to see the players taken care of. Not with just peanuts or insult of just $2,000. I want to see these kids get what they deserve. I mean, you have some pending lawsuits with ex college athletes like Ed O'Bannon, who wants to sue for the use of his likeness on EA's video games come out, NC2A and college basketball, what have you. And again, the NCAA racks up from these deals, and the students don't see a dime of it, not one penny. So that's a case that certainly I will be following, if the lawsuits. But I would love to see these guys and even girls, guys, just stand up for themselves and say enough's enough. We're not going to play. Especially when you see a coach, with a six figure shoe contract, shoe deal. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, Cinema Stardom. We're going to introduce a new segment to the program. We'll be right back on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. After the 11 o'clock hour, let's listen to the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Surreal Quinn taking you to the bottom half of the hour as we discuss the world of sports. We're going to introduce a new segment to the program. It's a segment that's frankly been long overdue, considering my newly found obsession with fantasy football, Cinema Stardom. I will give you three players to sit, and I will give you three players that you should start. Quarterback, wide receiver, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Players that you should sit at quarterback, Kevin Cobb. Cobb has not played well this year, and he's going up against this week a angry Baltimore Raven defense. Baltimore Raven defense has ranked fourth in the league in terms of total defense, has one of the best pass defenses in the league. And, again, it's coming off a loss at that. It could be a long day for one Kevin Cobb. So I would definitely sit him. I don't expect him to do anything against that Baltimore defense. Montero Hardesty from the Cleveland Browns, who's been getting some burn recently, had a game where he had 33 carries and 95 yards. You absolutely have to sit him. They're going against San Francisco. San Francisco's deep run defense has been so good that teams are not even trying to run on them anymore. I mean, it's just a matter of teams are just trying to line up and just throw the ball a bunch of times. You expect Colt McCoy to throw the ball anywhere from 40 to 45 times. I don't think Hardesty breaks 15 carries, to be honest with you. So I definitely have to sit him against that good, stout San Francisco 49er run defense. It's Miles Austin. Now you say to yourself, why would you sit a player of Austin's caliber? Well, he's coming off an injury, few weeks back. Still doesn't look like he had that full burst. Cowboys have started to establish a running game. There are questions about whether how much Jason Garrett trusts Tony Romo. And the Philadelphia Eagles have an above-average secondary with Cromartie, Samuel, and, of course, Nnamdi Asamoah. This would be, to me, a time to sit Miles Austin and pick up another receiver. Start him. Who you should start? Eli Manning. Eli's taking on the Miami defense. Miami defense that was shredded by one Tom Brady for 500 yards opening week of the NFL season. Now, Eli Manning is not Tom Brady, but the Miami pass defense is just like drugs or cotton. I mean, it is soft as soft can be. Eli, who's played well anyway, I shouldn't say that because he's actually had a good season, should be able to put up some big-time numbers versus the G-Man. Running back start, LeSean McCoy. I know you say yourselves this is an obvious choice either way, but why would I start him versus the number one ranked pass run defense in the league in terms of the Dallas Cowboys? I'll tell you why. Eagles have the ability to spread the Cowboys out. The Cowboys also have to account for one Michael Vick. That will create some running lanes for LeSean McCoy. And LeSean McCoy has scored 8 touchdowns. So, I would definitely play McCoy. It seems to me like the Eagles are starting to see the light, like similar to what the Bears with Mike Marks and Mike Forte is in terms of running the football. Again, we'll get a better picture of it, better sense of it on Sunday. But McCoy, to me, has been too productive to sit, no matter how good the defense he's playing against. Stevie Johnson. Now, I know you're saying yourself, well, Stevie Johnson against the Redskins, what kind of day could he have? The Redskins have a pretty good defense, but the Redskins have struggled against quality receivers. Look what Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith, and Jeremy Maclin, Steve Smith of Philadelphia. I mean, Steve Smith of Carolina, Jeremy Maclin, Fitzgerald have all had big days against the Redskins. Secondary is not very good. It's not. The Redskins secondary is just not that good. They struggle against even receivers less than Stevie Johnson. So expect Stevie Johnson, and receivers are hard to find. So expect if somebody picked up Stevie Johnson, good for them. If he's still out there on the waiver wire, I would definitely pick him up. We'll see what happens with that. So, you sit Cobb, sit Hardesty, sit Miles Austin. I would start Eli, start LeSean McCoy, and start Stevie Johnson. That is the first edition of the Cinema Stardom on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. When we return, we will have Week 8 NFL picks. We'll be right back. Almost halfway home. Most teams won't play the eighth game till next week, but we're getting close. Last week, 1-2 of our picks. I'm hoping for an undefeated week. We'll see what happens. Game number one, we travel to Kansas City. Now the home of the world champion, St. Louis Cardinals. They're home of a hot NFL team that has won 3 straight games, the Kansas City Chiefs, looking for win number 4, their 4th straight, as they host the first-place San Diego Chargers. Two teams seemingly headed in maybe opposite directions. Chargers are coming off a loss against the Jets. Kansas City is coming off a rout of the Oakland Raiders. San Diego is a 4-point favorite despite being on the road. It's a lot of respect. A little bit too much for my taste. Phillip Rivers is playing the worst football in his career. Trust me, I have him on my fantasy team, so I get a pretty good sense of how he's playing. He's been awful this year. I don't know what the problem is. You can use no Darren Sproles. You can use the excuse Gates not all the way there. Whatever. He's not playing well. And, San Diego cannot survive if you're playing this way, or it would certainly bite them over the course of the season. I like what Kansas City has done defensively. I like they're running the football pretty well with Jackie Battle. I'm going with San Diego for a 23-20 upset. Vince Jackson is not healthy, okay? He's not healthy, fully healthy. Antonio Gates, who knows about him? I understand that Gates played well last week in his return. I get it, but can he do that back-to-back weeks with that foot injury? I don't know. Well, we'll see. I'll take the Chargers. I'll take Kansas City 23-20 with the outright upset. Dallas at Philadelphia. Eagles are three and a half point favorite at home. This is a borderline must win for the Cowboys. Excuse me, for the Eagles. Eagles are, they're 2-4. Giants are 4-2. Giants play Miami. Okay, so there's a pretty good chance that the Giants might be 5-2 at the end of the day. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, do you really want to be three games behind the first place Giants? And I know the Giants' schedule is about to get brutal, but you would be three games behind the Giants and two games behind the Cowboys, and you still have to play. You still have to play at Dallas. You still have to play at New York. So I look for the Eagles to go out there and spread Dallas out. I look for LeSean McCoy to have a good day despite Dallas' excellent run defense. Dallas has not seen a running back of the likes of LeSean McCoy. Trust me. Tony Romo, lifetime against the Eagles, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions in 7 games. Has not been great, but their games have been exciting. Dallas has won 4 of their last 5 matchups. I'll take the Eagles 31-27. I expect a high-scoring game. Caller, you're on. What's on your mind? You're on the Saturday morning wake-up call.
Hey, how you doing? Cowboy Radio from Speculation Sports. Big Cowboys fan here, but how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
So I just got done with my Speculation Sports. I don't think the Cowboys win this game, big Cowboys fan, but I think the convicted felon gets done out there, and you had a week off. The Eagles have their, they've got their, and they proverbial their consultant to bring in to make love to his wife, the fatty, fatty 2x4, but I don't see Romo. The secondary couldn't cover a bedspread, so I don't see a problem. I see number 7 getting the job done, and they've had their fun for a week. And it's not a borderline must win; it is a must win for the Eagles because it's a nightmare. And look at it, it's on the eve of Halloween, and it's a nightmare in the city of brotherly shove. And the Eagles need to win this game, and they need and they must, and that's why they're going to crush my Cowboys. And the Cowboys go 3-4 because we've been a non-factor for 17 years, like I said on my show many, many times, because we have an owner, an imbecile, being the general manager and the owner of the Cowboys. So I expect the convicted felon dogfighter to beat Tony Romo Pretty Boy in a big way in the city of brotherly shove, and the nightmare hopefully is over. But if they lose this game, they might as well fire Reed at halftime and pack up his house and kick him out of town, because if they lose the Cowboys, there's no turning back, and the nightmare becomes an official effing nightmare in the city of brotherly shove.
Yeah, they need to win this game. The Eagles need to win this game. Only reason I don't say it's an absolute must win is because the Giants' schedule after this Miami game gets just ridiculous. I've never seen a schedule like it ever in this, for the last 8 games. Well, so from that standpoint, they wouldn't be completely out of the division, but it would put them in a bad spot. 2-5 is just 3 games. Blue Jays at the 500 late, this late into the season is brutal. So I'm kind of with you in terms of that. They need, bottom line, you need to win home games within a division.
Right.
Those games.
Well, if you're
are
a team, if you're
like
a team, they think they are. They need to win at home. That's
yeah,
all they
exactly,
do.
Exactly.
It's
yeah,
no
exactly.
different. Is the Motor City Kitties after week six? That stupid little fight in the middle is going to define the Motor City Kitties. And they lose two games at the road. I personally think Tebow time, they lose in Mile High City because they've lost two games at home. You don't lose at home in the National Football League. I'm sorry. If you're this alleged undefeated team week six, that stupid little fight is going to define the Motor City Kitties. And Tebow's got confidence now after being the hapless Miami Dolphins, and we'll see what happens up there in Mile High. So I think the Motor City Kitties lose, and I also think Crater Face loses in KC, and that's not going to be an upset, I think, because they have momentum. And they've got confidence. They're 3-3. People wrote them off, including myself. I was in San Diego when they kept it close to San Diego. I think Monday Night Football game is going to be a very, very big statement game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the AFC West is going to get very, very tight after the Raiders got embarrassed last week and got shut out by Sue and Clean, we just talked about, the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of big games in Week 8 in the halfway point in the National Football League. So a lot of tough games. NFC East is just like the AFC West, up for grabs for anybody that wants it. They want to step up and be in the National Football League. So it'd be very interesting the way it goes the rest of the way here. So the Bubba Cowboys have been a non-factor for 17 years because Jerry Jones doesn't care. I speak his language. It's money. I buy nothing Dallas Cowboys on because I'm not going to reward him for bad behavior, imbecile, disgusting behavior, because it's amazing mediocrity is maintained in Dallas, Texas, and Jerry Jones loves it. And the Cubs are there. The Hinnamacon and Minnesota Twins are in that Mesa Meteorocracy. The Vikings are in there. And right now, you look like the Lions are pondering the Mesa Meteorocracy from afar.
Yeah. Well, you get back to me. I'll certainly be on the lookout for your show. Have a great day.
I'll listen in. I'll be right here. If we go ahead and talk. I'm on Cowport Radio, Speculation Sports. I'm just listening right along. I'll go ahead and keep talking.
Let me get to this game of the week.
Go ahead.
New England at Pittsburgh. Brady has owned the Pittsburgh Steelers 6-1 lifetime, 105, basically a 104.8 quarterback rating. I hate the Patriots. I totally despise the Patriots, but they just, I mean, the NFL, as you all know, we all know the game of matchups. Pittsburgh, you know, what happens with that is Pittsburgh has, they make Pittsburgh's linebackers play cover, so they spread them out. Brady does it all the time. He'll use the two tight ends. He'll have Deion Branch out there. And Pittsburgh doesn't have an answer for it. Pittsburgh does not have a strong secondary. No James Harrison. Their run defense has not been good this year, giving up 4.5 yards a carry. And the only way for Pittsburgh to win this game would be to run the ball, keep Brady off the field, limited possessions. But that's not the best plan of attack because they don't have a consistent running game. I like the Patriots in this game, 31-21. Pittsburgh cannot win a shootout with the Patriots. The only way Pittsburgh can win this game is if New England gets back to doing what they were doing earlier in the season. That's throwing the ball 40, 50 times, and they get three or four turnovers off of, you know, Brady interceptions, fumbles, things of that nature. Something that happens in the special teams. Other than that, I like New England to win this game. I think Pittsburgh is just a bad matchup. And I'm not sold on that Pittsburgh defense, despite the fact that it's ranked number two in the league in terms of yards allowed. Again, look at you gauge Pittsburgh by how many rushing yards they're giving up, 4.5 yards a carry. Also, they are not turning people over and they're not getting to the quarterback. Only Woodley has gotten to the quarterback on Pittsburgh's team. Harrison again is out for this game. So, with the picks, I'll take Sandy. I'll take Kansas City with the upset. I'll take Philadelphia over Dallas in a close game, cover the spread. I'll take Philadelphia over Dallas with the points, and I will take New England with the points over Pittsburgh. Those are your picks for a week number 8 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. We start off the program, of course, with the St. Louis Cardinals taking home at championship number 11. With a 6-2 victory over Texas. Texas losing the World Series for the second straight year, become first team since the Atlanta Braves of 91-92 to do so. So it does not happen that often. Again, St. Louis, and I mentioned it before, has been the most consistent team this side of the New York Yankees since 1996 when Tony La Russa took over. He gets his third championship. They get their 11th. Congratulations to the Cardinal Nation. I will see you next week. Or, matter of fact, I'll see you tomorrow on the Redskins postgame report. So long.